Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
And welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Robert Nicolesco.
And it is April 25th, 2022. Welcome back to the show. We are here.
We're here talking some comics. We got a few to talk today. Some very relevant ones. And...
I think they're all relevant to today.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, okay. I thought you said some relevant ones.
No.
All relevant ones.
Yeah.
Two new ones, one old one.
Yeah.
And two indie ones, too. We're doing not the big two today, sort of.
Well, except for the old one.
Yeah, well, it doesn't count. Yeah. Let's get into the first one. It's called Vanity. Hopefully I don't... Oh, I'm really going to mess up these names. Yuri Kirnev and Natalia Tsarevnikova. Yeah?
Tsarevnikova. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Let's... Apologies, Natalia.
Yeah.
You drew a good comic, though.
You did draw a good comic. The art is beautiful. Love the cover, too.
And this is a Black Caravan release. This is number one. They're definitely, it's a like I want to know more comic.
Yeah. What drew me immediately was that it was about Elizabeth Bathory, who, you know, is vampire-y related or, you know, mythological blood related.
Totally. I mean, she's a lot of things came from her. I mean, and there's, we could talk about the formatting of the book, but there's an essay in the beginning that kind of does help to contextualize her. And one of the main things, which I think it was like repeated maybe too many times, it could have been, but it's like, that is the point of the essay, is that like it, the truth or the myth is more important than what actually happened. Right. And it's like the myth tells more about us, how we, you know, humans create, take these stories and, you know, roll with them, when it's like reality, it could have been anything that could happen. She could have never hurt anybody, or she could have been worse, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just how we interpret these stories every day. And it's like, and they compare it to Vlad the Impaler and how it just gets worse over time. And how we just create these stories. And they are interesting, and that's why we keep wanting to read them.
In that region, just lots of horror.
Oh yeah.
The Carpathian Mountains, like I grew up, my grandfather's Romanian. So like he would always talk about like the mountains, and it's like they were super mysterious and like haunted and stuff. And then when the Nazis like tried to take Romania, all the people fled into the mountains, and it like kept the, you know, the Nazis from... I'm being attacked by a cat. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. It's okay.
Oh, geez. I was like trailing.
It's your family. It's your cat. Your family's cat. Yeah. Like, don't talk about the Romanians and the mountains.
I guess. What is happening? Oh my God. Okay, she's getting crazy. Maybe we should pause this. I need to put her in the other room. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm not pausing it. I'm just going to keep rolling with it because I think it's hilarious that you're being attacked by your cat right now. And I feel like we should include all of this into the recording because it's all about the Romanians. Their cat is trying to keep your Romanian secrets. That's really what it's about.
I guess she has never maybe she has never attacked me like that, like while I'm just sitting somewhere. And she wouldn't stop.
That's what I mean. Romanian secrets. She's like, don't you talk about those family secrets.
Yeah, don't talk about the Carpathian Mountains. Anyway, lots of horror came from there, you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, he's Transylvanian and then she's Hungarian and they're like right next to each other.
Right.
That was my point. Spooky area of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's like you said, there's a big, big essay in the front. And I do. I appreciate the I like calling it tea stained paper. Tea stained.
Yeah.
It looks very cool and old. Yeah, definitely appreciate that design. So yeah, then we get into the history basically of Elizabeth Bathory, or as her name is pronounced in Romanian, was Elizabeth. No, that's not Beth.
Or Hungarian. She's Hungarian.
Yeah, she's Hungarian. I'm sorry. Erzbeth.
And we start in 1614, where mm-hmm. there some people are digging up her body, right? Or no. Sorry. No. She has died and they're trying to bury her.
Right.
And in sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
In like the cemetery for the poor, which mm-hmm. is not where a countess would be buried. And they're doing it in the middle of the night. Because is it because they don't like, because she was so dreaded in her lifetime that they like can't have her grave be known because people will like deface it or something?
Yeah. It's like a secret burial. Yeah. Cause she was so terrible in her life and everything that they have to bury her in this like secret place. So nobody will know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the gravedigger is going to tell the story to this other person who doesn't know. And he's like, I can't believe there's this big thing back and forth between them. Or he's like, I cannot believe you don't know who she is. And he's like, tell me the story. And he's like, I don't know.
That felt pretty modern. Like, yeah, there's a few things modern. Here which is like not a bad thing because, I don't know, they've always done, you know, the past where people are like statue people or something. And it's like, I think I do want more media of the past where people are more like people, you know,
right?
Yeah. But that felt like a very modern storytelling, you know, thing, which is like, you've never heard the legend of, I don't know, the boogeyman or Sweeney Todd or
right.
whatever. It's like, well, you're about to find out. Like,
yeah. And you know, there's a good way of doing that and there's a bad way of doing that. I appreciate that they didn't use like complete modern words where they're just like swearing back and forth or so it didn't bother me too much. There was another comic, I can't remember what it was, that I read recently where they tried to mix like it was like Norse words together and then like in modern language, and it just did not work. And I was like, I can't read this at all. And I just like threw it aside. The art was beautiful, but I was just like, nope, not working.
That sort of thing's tough.
It is.
That perfect magic, because it's like, it's weird, but it's like Stan Lee's one of the better users of that. Like, it's like somehow he was able to make that like fake Shakespearean like mix with English and stuff. Like, it's not easy though.
Yeah, like when he uses it with Thor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did a good job with that. It doesn't ever bother you when you're reading the comic.
No. But then it's like the Deadwood thing, right? Where nobody in Deadwood said all the words that they said in real life, but they would say like, gosh darned or something. And it's like, but back then that did mean goddamned or whatever, or like whatever, you know, I don't even need to say these words, but the worst words they use sort of evoke the same like attitude. That's like, this is what these people would be like for the people back then, like very aggressive language sort of
thing. Oh yeah, absolutely. But they also swore a lot in that show.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. I was trying to explain it without having to say all those words.
Yeah.
All that colorful language.
All that colorful language. We go through her life, like when she's born, how like her father, of course, wanted a son. They always wanted sons. Like no one wanted a lady back then. How she was like born really weak and how they drowned babies usually if they were weak. Some fucked up shit.
It's all very casual too. It's like, The guy's like, why didn't you drown the baby? Like, no. He's like, it's a countess's baby. Like, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, we don't need to drown that baby. Like, they're rich. You only drown poor people's babies here. They give us silver. Like, we're going to skip that.
But even that, they're like, oh, they're penny pinching. They couldn't give us the gold. Like, they're like, silver? Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. I know. It's like stuff like that where I'm like, that is like, all this comes across as like very like modern sort of thing. But it is with the skin of the past in a way that it really works, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. How pathetic is that? He tells them when he gives them the the silver instead of the gold. But then he throws in some Latin in there too, just to mix it up.
Yeah,
I appreciate.
And the art throughout, I don't know if we said that already, but like super cool. I'm really reminded of, like, which makes sense, but even though this is in color, I think of From Hell.
I was actually going to say League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So
yeah. That same sort of thing. Just like the weird, like, I feel like if this was in black and white, it would feel very ancient and sort of creepy.
Yeah. I like the colors are very muddled. So, which I really like as well. So if it was like too bright or too saturated, it wouldn't work at all. So they did a good job with that.
And I like how much it's like really through her eyes, like literally you don't look at her until the last panel.
Oh yeah, and absolutely.
You see her eating and being like corrected how to eat and like how to pick flowers and how to sword fight and all this stuff, but it's all POV stuff.
Yeah, it was very intentional how they did that. And yeah, you feel her, you kind of like get her feelings through that, which was really, really cool. And yeah, she's just constantly being battered, like, you know, don't do this, don't do that, be a lady, you know, this is
rigid structure.
Structure. Yeah, totally.
The POV thing also made me think of like slasher movies where often the killer, you, cause they're trying to maintain mystery, but they still want to have these gruesome deaths where someone's getting in there. Right. And so they'll do it through the POV of the killer. And it's like, she kind of is a proto slasher character. So I don't know if that was their intention.
That's really interesting. Yeah. That's a really good point. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, totally. I hope they bring that back because you do see her finally at the end, which you would see a killer too, kind of like blooming finally, which they do bring about because they eventually get to the point where she's going to be married off. Right. She's only 10 years old.
Yeah.
But her family needs money. So that's what they did back then. If the family needed money and they were noble, they would marry off their daughter usually.
Yeah. Daughters are it's like, a prize oxen.
Yes. Exactly. <Pretty much. laughs> But they had to wait till she blooms, right?
Yeah. And it's a miracle when she does.
Yeah. And the boy is 15 and she's 10 and they're like, oh, he's only 5 years older than you. Like, don't worry about it. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And there's a really interesting scene where she's taking a bath. Very, you know, I had some issues with it, but it was okay. where she finally gets her period, basically. And I feel like they had to show it because it's kind of like where she gets her infatuation. And you see it a little bit throughout the comic with the blood. Yeah, she like pricks her finger earlier too, and she like tastes the blood. So you're kind of like getting a little bit like here and there. But then finally, yeah, she has her period in the bath and she gets the blood and she has a vision. But her vision is not of Eve, which they've talked about earlier too in the comic, but of Lilith.
Yeah.
And she sees Lilith and she has like the claws on her feet and the snake is wrapped around her body and the wings. And she just like, she's this like powerful image of her.
Yeah. I really liked that, that part where they're like the first woman and she's like, I had a vision of the first woman, but it wasn't Eve.
No.
Like, and it's just like, this would be not okay stuff to say, you know?
Right.
Cause it's like, you had a vision that defies the Bible, defies God.
Like, her maid like doesn't say anything back about it. So yeah, if you don't know the Bible, like maybe you wouldn't know that that's who that was, but it definitely, that's who it was.
Yeah.
So that's who she is definitely going to follow.
Yeah, of course. That being a woman of liberation, as opposed to Eve, who is the symbol of servitude.
Yeah,
exactly. And punishment.
Right. She asks if she's cursed, and she's like, "Oh no, it just means you're becoming a woman." And she kind of like gets this like look in her eye, and that's like the last panel of the comic. Like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm all in on this. I want to know more. What is the next step? Where are they going with it? What history are they going to tell? What history are they going to make? It's super interesting.
It's super cool. The one thing I was like, damn, like I want to get into it, you know? Yeah. And it's like, it does the thing of making me want to read the next issue, but it also does the thing of like, hey, do you like Countess Bathory? Do you want to see her when she's a little kid? And it's like, I'm like, okay. And like, this one's pretty acceptable, but normally I'm like, very like, just get to it, you know?
Right.
but I feel like this setup is pretty cool. And it does, like, I think in the longer term, we'll have to see, but like, this shows the servitude, you know, that she's going to have to break out of. So it does a good job of like setting that up, and sort of, it's clear they're telling a longer story.
Right. And I mean, I think it's interesting because I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
Read stories about her before, but I haven't seen her as a child or anything.
Yeah.
Like, so, I'm also guessing this could be a movie property. So,
totally.
A good way to explain it. So,
the fact that there isn't like the Bathory movies and there's like 6 remakes is just because they're like, we don't want to show this lady being too powerful. And,
right.
I mean, we can have an evil dude who kills hell of people, but what if women might get crazy ideas?
Like, I mean, let's not get carried away.
They might rise up. I don't know. Movies keep them in line, because it's clearly going to be a movie that'll do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, there's metal songs about her. So
that's true. Also from Scout Comics.
By the way, that was Vanity.
Vanity, Black number Caravan. So Scout Comics, because Black Caravan is a subsidiary of Scout. So we have two Scout. We have King Jira, Hungry Like a Monster. This is by Marco Fontanelli. And he does everything on this. Art, created, written. Pretty cool.
Yeah, and I like the little approved by the Kaiju Code Authority on the front.
Really cute. And this is Grab Me, I'm a One-Shot Story.
Yes. Unlike the other one, which is leading into a bigger thing, this definitely is a complete thing, which I love. We need more comics that way. And that's one of the things that sold me on wanting to do that. For this, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, it looks cool.
Also, it looks really cool. I know, for all of you who obviously cannot see us, it's just a very bright, hot pink cover with like yellows and blues, and that's it. Yellows and blues.
But it's very striking and really good color scheme throughout. It mixes. So this is a wordless comic. I mean, the words that we get are in the form of sound effects, not even dialogue. Dialogue is spoken through symbols, which I really like that. But the art is a mix of black and white and color. So a lot of it'll be color, and it's used for artistic effect. It seems like they could have made the whole thing color, but I do really, really like the thing that they're doing here.
What does it look like? Like Ed Piskor's comic?
That would be one of the things I could think of, where it's like the mixing of it looking like an old black and white comic with bright colors in it.
Yeah, because it's like that sepia tone, though. It's not like straight black and white.
So
it looks like an older comic, but it's still like kind of glossy. It's not like a matte paper, but it looks cool. It looks really, really cool, y'all. So it's a big kaiju monster, right? And, you know, kind of like Godzilla, but he's fat. He's a very cute, fat monster. Wearing a wrestling belt. He's a cutie little guy.
This is not scary. This could be like all, this is all ages comic as far as I'm concerned. Like, you give this to a kid, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not all kids.
Oh yeah, he melts a face.
He melts a lot of faces.
I guess it's really cartoony, but
it is cartoony. Yeah,
maybe like an 11-year-old.
Yeah. We'll say 11. I mean, if you have a cool 10-year-old, it's fine. And what do kids get into these days? You know, like, there's
Countess Bathory. Countess Bathory could have handled this at 10.
Yeah, for sure. She's all in.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's just destroying this city, having a good time, but he looks real hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing is, yeah, Art, like you said earlier, are the little sound effects. He uses colors like way to his advantage. Just making the little sound effects. You see like his little stomach blurbing around, and it's just the like green. Blurb, 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 blurb. Yeah.
And for the fart, because he farts.
Oh yeah, he farts too. Yeah.
But it's like, it had to be green, and it's like, it does a really good job of like evoking that sort of stomach gurgle thing. And it's like, that color, that page has nothing except green and then the black and white, you know. Mm-hmm. Or the sepia.
And then he sees like a giant building that has like a pizza on top of it. Yeah. And again, you get like the cool sound effects, but it's in pizza colors now, and he's like thump 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 thump. And then it says like pizza on the side.
Yeah. It's super crazy.
Yeah, it's super crazy. And it's super fun because like when you're reading it, you can just hear all of these sound effects as you're reading it, which is so effective. And that's exactly what a comic is for. And it makes it so much fun to read. And I just found myself reading this and like smiling like as I was reading it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This it has just that sense of fun to it. Whereas like, you know, Vanity's doing something that old comics never would have done. It's like very like serious and telling a longer story. This is going back to that just pure funness of comics, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No higher literary merits necessary or whatever. You know, it's just like, this thing's fun. Pick this up. If you like it, you know, get more of Marco's comics.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what he does next. Yeah, and then like, yeah, the next page, he has little heart eyes, like looking at the pizza, and you're like, oh, he's just a hungry monster. He's so cute.
I love the soldier who's trying to kill him.
Yeah.
And then like, it doesn't work. And like, you have the guy, I mean, literally being like, oh shit.
Yeah. But
no words. It's just the poop emoji.
It's like, a poop emoji.
In his word bubble or in his word balloon. Yeah. Like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great. Or the scientist like trying to explain.
Yeah.
It's trying to explain like how to kill the monster too. Yeah. And the guy, the other soldier's like gonna drop the nuclear bomb, and it just shows the little nuclear sign and the bomb. And the scientist is like, no, and has just a no symbol.
The general, like the, you know, the stereotypical evil movie general that has to destroy the monster is like, has that moment where he's like, we have to kill the monster, but that's depicted with a butcher knife and then an image of the monster in his word balloon.
Yeah.
So it's like going through, you know, somewhat normal motions, but it's just, it's the delivery system for this that's really, really special, I think.
Yeah. And I don't know if I've seen that before. It's almost like using emojis in a comic, I guess, right?
Yeah, I've seen it before. I've done it in a comic and I didn't come up with it. So I know I had seen it somewhere, but I don't know where I got it from.
Yeah. Yeah, I must have seen it. Definitely in a cartoon. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it is. Like Looney Tunes, right? Or something like that.
I mean, they do it at one point, the light bulb, right? The idea. But really, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Which we've all seen. We've all seen the light bulb over someone's head. Like, you know, you can do that where it's like, or Calvin and Hobbes will do it. He'll like,
right.
And like, sometimes it'll like have like a, or even, you know where I got it? Usagi Yojimbo.
Okay.
And when people die, because it's such a all ages comic.
Yeah.
There'll be a little word balloon, like a, with a wavy tail that has a like cartoon skull in it.
Okay.
Cause there's no like blood or anything. You don't see wounds, but it's like, bleh, bleh, those guys are, you know, basically X-Eyes or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and this one has that little cartoon skull too. The guy like doesn't want to die, and he's just like a little bubble with a skull, like I don't want to die.
Yeah.
And then he melts, and then his face melts, and he dies.
There is definitely multiple face melts.
There's
a full couple full page splashes of some face melts. Big fan of that.
Yeah, and he's very effective at the face melting. His art definitely lends to that.
Yes,
it's very melty.
Yes, that, I greatly respect that as someone who I feel like my strengths also lean towards
face melting.
Yeah. Face melting and goop and monsters.
Yeah. And if you're a fan of like Pisker's art, you'll definitely like this guy's art as well. Definitely very similar.
This guy's got to be a kayfaber. I would assume.
I would assume that as well.
Because it also has that sense of Jim Rugg. Like I was thinking of Hulk Grand Design with this in just, not in terms of anything specific other than like that just modern sense of returning to the fun comics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we talked about last week, everybody.
Yes. In case you want to go back and listen to Hulk Grand Design talk, please refer to the last episode. Yeah, so they basically decide instead of blowing up the entire world with a nuclear bomb, this guy, you know, he just wants pizza. He's been asking for pizza. So let's give him some pizza.
So a giant one.
Giant pizza. So somehow they create a giant pizza real fast.
Yeah.
get all the pizza bakers in the world, I assume.
I mean, military budget would go a long way.
Right.
That's like probably a $1 billion project, you know. Yeah.
They get the biggest oven ever. Get this pizza made. And he finally gets what he wants. But there's something built into this pizza.
Yeah, it makes him like shrink or something.
Yeah, that was the only thing I was a little unclear of. But I assume that's what happens because there's little like shrinky things around him.
Yeah, either that or maybe he was once a smaller monster. And he got radiated or something and became bigger. And this
he
is
eats,
like,
maybe he gets smaller.
I don't know.
They're watching a clock.
Yeah.
So that was the only storytelling thing I was a little unclear of. I assume something was built into it because the scientist had the idea of pizza.
Yeah, it must. I think it was the general being sneaky. And we just don't get that storyline. But
yeah,
you know, I don't know.
It's fine. We don't have to look at it too.
Yeah. We're only confronting this because we are trying to like explain it. When you read it, you're not like, what? Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking about it. I was like, what happened? I want to know. How did he get so small? But it's fine. But he still has powers. Just because he gets small doesn't mean he's going to lose his, you know, Godzilla fire breathing.
Yeah.
Power.
He vaporizes that evil general really good.
Yeah, another face melting panel is awesome.
That sequence like 3 pages long.
Oh yeah, awesome. He really wanted to melt that general's face.
I like the tunf, T-U-N-F, and it's just like that's like the sound of like splatting on the ground, like tunf. It's pretty good.
Yeah, the sound effects are great.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also the holding lines. He does colored holding lines, which really adds to it too. Like the monster will be purple or pink, but it's not no black lines. It's darker pink lines. It's just all very well designed and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He blends those lines together really, really nicely.
I'm personally going to be looking at this again for art techniques and how to color stuff really.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're doing your own comic or you just want to look at like lettering techniques, like this is a really great example of that. Just I can't recommend that enough.
And I'm not familiar with Marco Fontanelli's other comics, but I absolutely have to go track some stuff down.
I'm definitely gonna start following him on the grams for sure.
Yeah, super cool.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's you should pick this up. Let's King Jira, Hungry Like a Monster, number one. I think, or just a one shot. Maybe he'll be back for more, as it kind of alludes to at the end.
Yeah, it leaves it open for a sequel, but by no means does there need to be. Or
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah. And we have a bunch at the store, so come pick one up or from scoutcomics.com.
Yeah, super fun comic. High recommendation.
All right, let's enter the attic.
Yeah. What is that? What is it behind the dust? It's Moon Knight number one.
Woo! Moon Knight number one. The big premiere issue came out in 1980.
Yeah.
So written by Doug. Okay. So I never known how to say his last. Is it Munch or Monick?
I've always said Monick, but I've also never said it out loud until this very moment.
All right. Well,
so I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe one day we'll figure it out.
We all know that guy. That guy's written a million comics.
Yeah. Yeah. Drawn by Bill Sienkiewicz.
The legend, the great. Oh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In his early Neil Adams phase. This is still very Neil Adams.
Yeah. It does not look like his stuff yet at all.
No, you can see it a little bit, but he's starting to become his own. But yeah, this is early career Sienkiewicz.
And he didn't even ink it, so that's part of it as well.
Bill and Frankie S. inkers, which I don't know who that is.
I don't know either.
Which is rare, yeah.
And then edited by Denny O'Neill, the great Batman writer, Denny O'Neill.
And Tom Orzechowski, the letterer, right? Mm-hmm. The guy.
And Jim Shooter supervised it too. Look at all these Marvel greats.
Yeah. The macabre Moon Knight. This comic is crazy. First of all, I need to read the Werewolf by Nights or whatever, where he showed up, to even understand this. I feel like this, it leaps ahead. I mean, you can get it, but there's a part where you're like, whoa.
This is his actual origin. So.
Yeah, but then we can get into it when we get there, but it's just kind of crazy.
It is, yeah. And it's super 70s and the language is very, very outdated. I mean, we always say that when we read these comics, but this is particularly bad. The female protagonist is just, ugh, it just hurts when you read it.
and a black guy who's the bad guy named Bushman with a skull tattooed on his face. And he's constantly telling our main character that he doesn't understand what being a true assassin is about. And he has metal teeth also.
Oh, yeah.
Very Jaws. I thought of Jaws.
It's
weird stuff.
It is. And I don't know. We're going to try to connect it a little bit to the show. And you can see where they pulled some stuff a little bit, or they tried anyways, but there's not a lot here to grab.
No, it starts and they're basically they're just killing a bunch of people in the sedan.
They're mercenaries.
Yeah. So they kill a bunch of people in the sedan. And then afterwards, he basically is supposed to execute someone. And this guy's that's when he's first you're a coward sort of thing. You're not up to the job.
And this is Mark Spector. Because remember, Moon Knight does have multiple identities soon.
Yeah. Unlike the show, we start with Mark Spector, maybe it's going to be revealed, but I don't know if the show has revealed or will reveal who the true person is. I mean, if it's the comic, it's Mark.
Right. Yeah, Mark is the OG. He is the original identity.
It's his body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool. And I like some of the 70s aspects of it. It does seem like an episode of a 70s TV show or something.
Yeah.
Like a big budget one, but
Yeah. And it's a little noirish too, the way they talk and noir, adventure kind of very pulp.
What I felt definitely. And we said it, you said it off mic, but Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Raiders and that's what it feels Ark. like. In the show too, that's what the show has felt like to me too. It's very Indiana Jones, so that's totally where I could see them pulling from here and from some of the other comics as well.
Yeah.
And also this, they definitely got, so there's the female protagonist whose name Marlene, and her father, who's an archaeologist, have discovered like this golden dagger, and they've pulled that from pulled that part of this from to the show too, except they changed her name to Layla in the show.
Yeah.
And
it's Christian. It's still the same god, which
Khonshu.
Khonshu, yeah. So it's still Khonshu, and that's Khonshu's dagger. That stuff is similar. Right. But yeah, he like has to wander through the desert, and he's like basically dying, and then he's brought to the tomb of a pharaoh. And that's where he like is laid beside the statue of Khonshu.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's dead at that point.
Yeah. And then they mysteriously he awakes, and it doesn't really say what.
No, they don't really tell you what happens or why or anything. But Marlene tells him that he was dead.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, wait, who am I? Where am I? What's happening? You're like,
that whole part, I felt like, are you guys like hedging your bets for like the crowd that doesn't want like supernatural stuff or whatever? That's kind of what I, because there is no supernatural stuff in this comic.
No, it's, not at all. Yeah.
That's the most supernatural thing, where it's just like he's like just back from the dead next to a stat from being beside the statue, and then wakes up and is like, I'm the Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah, he steals the cloak
from
the tomb, and he's just like, ah, Moon Knight now. You're like, what? Yeah. Okay.
That's the part that I was like, did I miss something?
Yeah, me too. And Marlene tells him, like, you're delirious, mister. Like, don't steal that cloak. Like, and he's like, I'm a ghost now, a specter of the moon, the Moon Knight of vengeance, and I've got work to do. And you're like, okay. Yeah.
You just died, bro. I don't think you like, I think you need to rest.
Yeah. And I kept like expecting like Khonshu to pop out somewhere and be like, I am your leader now. Or like, this is going to, we're going to work together. And that never happened.
No, it's definitely not. I think like, cause I was reading about the character a little bit when the show started, and it's like, he's not supernatural for quite a while. Right.
Yeah. He's not at all. Yeah, he's more like Batman.
He really is like a Batman. Yeah.
He
almost had to make him supernatural to get away from that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. And it's funny when he like gets back to like the city life, it's like all of a sudden he's like, now I'm three people. It's very interesting how they just jump into that.
That's what I mean. Like, it must be in those other appearances where it's already established this guy's got three personalities. And he's a Moon Knight, and he's blah, 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 and all this. And this is just like, let's give the intro and then go right to where it continues. But
yeah,
you kind of need that context. Otherwise, it is kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. That was the only thing where I was like, what the hell?
Like, like why he's suddenly Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley. Like, why is he a cabbie? Like when he's also a millionaire, and how did he get millions of dollars all of a sudden? Like, he's just like, suddenly I'm Stephen Grant and I make millions of dollars. And you're like, but how?
Yeah. He acquires three new identities. He is still Mark Spector, and he becomes Stephen Grant, whose Wall Street wizardry parlays Spector's modest savings into a millionaire's fortune.
Okay. That's
and
right.
Then he adds Jake Lockley to his list of selves. Jake, a street smart cabbie who hears everything. See, that's where he gets his street intel, is being the cabbie.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Jake Lockley come out yet in the show.
No.
But there was, like, some allusion that he does have another personality.
The date.
Was it either episode 2 or 3?
In the first episode, that girl is like, so are we still on for Friday night? And he's like, Friday night. And she's like, yeah, the steakhouse, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, are you asking me out? And she's like, ha, that's funny. You're funny. Right.
Yeah.
Right? And then you're like, okay, I guess you could assume that Mark did that, but we've met Mark.
Yeah.
Why would he do that? He's not that guy.
Right. And then we also, he kills somebody And then Steven says, I didn't kill that person. And he's like, well, I didn't kill that person. And then like, and Khonshu's just like out somewhere else. So
yeah, Khonshu can't answer things. Yes. It would be really helpful, guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you just come in and answer this question? So I'm pretty sure we're also going to get Jake in at some point.
Yeah. Gotta.
Probably going to be the murderous one, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Mark is a murderous one, but yeah.
There is a murderous one inside of him, apparently. He's the one who's murdering everyone.
Yeah, there are some crazy parts in this. Now that I'm looking at it again, like, he goes in to like get some intel and talk to this guy about like this skull pendant he finds.
Oh yeah.
And then it's just like that abrupt shift where he's just like ripping his clothes off in the street. 99th in Amsterdam, Frenchie, and let's make it fast. It's just like, I don't know, it's all very strange. He just like becomes Moon Knight, keeps it in the trunk of his cab.
Yep.
He's got a French guy who flies a helicopter for him.
Frenchie. Yeah. the best line, best worst line I think in the entire comic was from Marlene, who thinks that this guy just killed her father.
Yeah.
Right. And then she's in the tomb with him and says he must have suffered horribly in the desert, but he was handsome. I'm like, you just killed your father. What are you doing?
Why did such a handsome guy have to kill my dad? Such a bummer.
And why do you care that he suffered? Like, you just, I'd be like, good, he's dead.
Yeah. And then when he's awake, she is like that. So I don't know.
It's very confusing.
Doug not understanding women too much, maybe.
No,
Doug Monic?
Not at all. I mean, most men comic writers did not understand women at all back then. Yeah. They're just like, they always love a handsome guy, even if they killed their own family. He just shot three of my children, murdered my entire family, but he's so good looking, I can't refuse his charms.
Yeah, you could also do that with the gender swap there. Just some like guy, like the Punisher's family's killed, but it's like she's really hot.
Yeah.
And Frank Castle's like, damn it. Why do I have to kill such a pretty dame? Like, oh, it's like, it's just as absurd.
It's so absurd.
But we get some cool, Sienkiewicz action throughout. That is very cool.
Yeah, no, the art's really good. I mean, you definitely, there's no lack of good art in this comic.
There's this one page where he's fighting all these goons and it's like just two panels. And that's where it like seems the most Sienkiewicz, where he's like really stretching like the angles and stuff. It's like Moon Knight doing like crazy poses and everything.
Yeah, that's really classic Moon Knight, like when he's jumping off of buildings or like swooping through the air and you have like his cool Moon Knight cape.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that's really awesome. And
we see Empire Strikes Back is playing at the theater right next to the what is called in this a jiggle joint, which I like.
Oh yeah, the jiggle joint. That was also my favorite line as well.
Yeah. It's got to be this jiggle joint.
That's also what I wanted to bring up. So recently, Moon Knight came out in one of those small, like kid-friendly paperbacks.
Oh, like the smaller sized reprints, like the 3/4 size reprints.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like ages 10 and up. And then I was reading and it's like this Moon Knight, like 1-3. And then Werewolf by Night 32 or not.
Whoa. This one's in there. Unabridged.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, this is not for children. Like mercenaries kill all of these people.
They make the women dance for them.
Uh-huh. And it says like it's even worse than death. Like, the women are doing for the men.
And then when he goes to the strip club, they're like the narrator is like, it would be like, it's just like the women who had to dance if their eyes weren't so dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I was like, this is a very noir, like,
yeah,
like pulpy comic. And I was just thinking about that little paperback that came out. I was like, this is not a child's book at all.
I mean, yeah, I guess if there's some things explained, but this isn't a thing to just hand to some kid.
Not a 10-year-old.
No. But yet when this came out, no one stopped any 10-year-olds from buying that.
That's
I'm sure.
True. Yeah. It's,
but the thing, the world's changed, right?
Yeah, the world has definitely changed.
10-year-olds.
And it was approved by the Comics Code.
That's pretty crazy. At that point, this is towards the end when they're like, I don't know. They got to be phoning it in or something.
Yeah, we gave up. Like, we don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's got like everything. Like, he has the moon plane and stuff. I don't know what it's called. It's shaped like it's a crescent moon.
The moon plane.
Yeah. The moonmobile. Like, quick, Frenchie. We have to go to the moonmobile.
Is that what it's called?
No, I don't know. Oh. I'm just like, it is like,
I like
very
the moonmobile.
Bad.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Doesn't sound very cool, but it's good. I like it. No. Moonmobile.
Yeah. It's got a lot of the backgrounds and stuff. I think of like Bond or something. Like, there's clearly some Bond influence here too.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, the Bond was very popular. Or was he? Who was Bond in 1980?
Roger Moore.
It was Roger Moore. Okay.
Towards the end, I think 84 was his last as Bond.
Oh yeah, he had. Then this guy has a very Bond Roger Moore look to him as well.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yeah, he's got that hair.
I mean, yeah, and it's just the era of spy stuff and crime, and it is like kind of a big mishmash of like all these like very 70s things. Even though this is 1980, it's like 70s cop shows, and then like weird interest in foreign cultures, you know, in that very like 70s way, and then like the James Bond thing, and then Batman got cool again in the 70s, you know, and
oh yeah,
Marvel's
yeah,
like
and
we
comics
need ours.
Got very dark,
yeah,
at this time, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Dark Knight is gonna be right around the corner. It's like, it was like the Joker fish stories were coming out.
Sure.
Like it was not really for kids at this point. Like this is what people wanted.
Yeah. And I mean, all it needed was different distinctions of like, this is a more adult comic. This is a more childlike comic, you know,
right.
But because it's not like X-Men does this. X-Men does some weird stuff sometimes, but it's not like this dark, you know.
No, X-Men was in space at this point, and we're going right, Dark Phoenix era.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
was definitely still pretty child friendly.
Yeah, I mean, she blew up a planet, but it's so abstract.
Yeah, she did. She did kill millions of aliens, but there is famous people. It was fine.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool, and kind of a lot of context helped to read this comic.
I definitely like the newer Moon Knights better.
yeah, I mean, it just makes more sense. They figured this stuff out.
Yeah.
Does Sienkiewicz ever come back to the character? Because that's like, I'd like to see full-on Sienkiewicz doing this.
Oh, like his newer stuff?
Yeah, like yeah. his current
he
style.
Did. Well, I mean, he was on the run for a long time. And I think you can kind of see him like changing his art.
Oh, I bet. Now. I bet his last issue, even if he's on for only a year, I'm sure the last issue is way more evolved
towards
his thing than this.
Definitely. Okay. Well, that's Moon Knight number one, Marvel Comics,
1980.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, volume one.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there's at least five of those now.
Yes, definitely. And if you are watching the show, keep with it. Definitely watch the newest episode. I had my issues with the first three for sure. But the last episode was my favorite one yet, because it definitely dives into like the Jeff Lemire stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
Which is like my favorite arc of, or my favorite volume, I should say, of Moon Knight.
Well, who doesn't love Jeff Lemire?
Exactly. And you get into like, I'm not, without any spoilers, just the Insane Asylum stuff finally comes out.
Okay, cool. Because we had talked about, I think, when I visited the shop last, about how the show was like really pitched as like a psychological horror show.
Mm-hmm.
And that ain't this show.
No.
You know, which is kind of what irked me. I mean, it got me really excited about the show, and then when it didn't have that,
yeah,
I was like really? Oh, okay. Whereas like if you had marketed it as an Indiana Jones show with a psychological bend, I would have been like, heck yeah, let's do it. You
exactly. know? Yep. I had the same conversation with Sherwin. Hi, Sherwin.
Hi, Sherwin.
yeah, about it as well. And then he told me to keep watching, and I did. Yeah. And I really liked the last episode. So I think there's only 2 episodes left now, though. I think it's only 6 yeah. episodes. So we'll see where it goes.
I mean, this guy's getting a movie, right? Like, it's Oscar Isaac.
Right? Well, he's got a lot to do, I'm sure.
Or he'll be, I mean, so despite the marketing not really aligning with what the show is and the show really like not doing horror stuff, it is at least slightly touching on it in a way that I think is going to open the door for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I see it as a positive when I look, you know, at the whole plan of where this, because this is leading towards Blade, and from Blade, I'm sure we're going to get like Marvel Dracula, which like, come on, you know,
Marvel yeah. Dracula. I don't know. Have they learned their lesson from Morbius?
I don't know, but it's Marvel Dracula. He's like one of the great, he fights like the X-Men and shit. That's the best part. We're like, you're just fighting Dracula?
Or they'll just do like a Chillers, right? Marvel's Chillers or something. It's just a title.
I don't know what we'll get. Frankenstein, Ghost Rider.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely going to do like a Ghost Rider, Morbius. Oh, maybe not Morbius after what happened, but
yeah
I don't know. Well, they're definitely doing a dark Marvel line for sure.
Yeah
Who's or gonna whatever. Be in that, I don't know. But
the mummy, the werewolf, the mummy. I hope we get werewolf. Yeah, they
it'll be werewolf by night, it'll be Moon Knight, it'll be Blade, and Ghost Rider for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe Lilith will be in there.
And I mean, who knows? They might go up against Agatha, right? Because it's like,
oh yeah,
isn't she supposed to get her own show?
And she definitely has her own show coming. It's already been announced. There's a little, you know, screen title thing. All we have is a teaser title.
That's like, what is that show going to be? I'm like, whoa, because that's a villain show. I mean, Loki's also where you're like, this is a villain show, but he's not really a villain anymore.
Not really.
That lady is. Not nice.
No, but are they gonna make her nice because she has her own show? That's what I'm a little sick of, is that making all these villains nice. Can we just have like a straight up villain show?
Yeah, like, I want evil.
Yeah, keep them evil. They don't all have to be good.
Yeah, it's, I feel like it was Magneto that did it. Like Magneto made sense,
right?
Magneto made sense to become a gray villain, not a like because when you read old 60s X-Men, he's like, ha, 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 destroy the world, and it's like, no, you're not Magneto.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he makes sense, but everybody else, it's like, no. I don't want to like care more about Dr. Doom. He's cool enough. Like, I don't even know.
He's the worst out of all of them. Oh, like my face, like it's so scarred underneath. And now like he doesn't have a scarred face. And like he's like, oh, now I'm good because I'm not ugly anymore. And it's
no,
come on.
You're a tyrannical dictator.
Yes.
who starves his people. And yeah, like,
ugh.
Let him be evil.
Let him be evil. Let your evil villains be evil.
That's the name of the episode. Let there be evil.
Let there be evil. All right. We got it. Speaking of evil, I guess Doctor Strange 2. Is right around the corner.
Oh, and very excited.
Going to be new horror elements in it.
Yeah, we'll see if this is actually the horror. We do have Sam Raimi.
We do. I know. I'm very exciting. So this comes from CBR, and they said there's a new listing for Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and they shed new light on the film's scarier sequences. So new details on the much talked about horror elements of Marvel Studios' Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness have been revealed. The film was given a 12A rating by the British Board of Film Classification for injury detail, threat, horror, and violence, and flash flicking lights. Apparently, I might have a seizure going into.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Sam Raimi, what are you doing?
God damn it. Okay, so a particular note is the threat and horror section, which reads, scenes of horror include demonic beings attacking people, of decomposing corpse being reanimated, people being burned by magical powers, leaving charred remains, and multiple jump scares. There are also frequent scenes of threat in which people are pursued by demonic entities and monsters, or threatened with magical powers. I'm like, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So my my assumption is that there's going to be zombies.
Yeah.
Right?
They were introduced in the What If, so.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we're getting the dark Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and we saw one very Evil Dead looking creature in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a Doctor Strange or what's going on. The one that's like, you know, waving its arms and floating. And I'm just like, this is Evil Dead. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. And cool. Bruce Campbell's going to be in it too.
Of course, he has to be.
So is he going to be like the dead Doctor Strange maybe, or like the zombified Doctor Strange?
You
or
got my money.
Ash has been in a Marvel comic book. Is he gonna come from the Marvel zombiverse?
Maybe. And
that would be so funny if they did that.
I mean, I could also very much see him as a Doctor Strange variant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Zombified or other, like Bruce Campbell would be an amazing Doctor Strange. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And we talked about that on the April Fool's joke where he was like in the costume, you know, like, and I was like, maybe he actually was getting makeup for the zombie.
Yeah. Well, why not be one of the variants?
And, yeah.
I mean, he could be both. He could be like, I'm this version's Doctor Strange. One of my other variants is undead. Not fun. Like, he has played good and evil versions of himself before.
Yes, he has. Yeah, oh, yeah, from Ash and
I'm bad Ash
and good Ash.
And I'm good Ash.
Yeah.
You're a little goody two shoes.
Oh, I love Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
Okay, so also big news, the Thor Love and Thunder trailer.
Yeah.
Dropped, which was, it literally just took over my entire Instagram/Facebook/life feeds for like,
it's gonna be a huge movie.
It's gonna be a huge movie, and it's coming out so soon. Like, I felt like that was gonna be like a year away, but it's like this summer.
Yeah, it's this summer, and I mean, it's already May, so we're getting there.
We're getting there.
But I think these are gonna be like three of their just. Clearly, definitely the three biggest solo character movies that Marvel's ever done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe other than like Captain America Civil War, which I guess is a Captain America movie.
I guess.
But like, it's that size, you know, like these are that size of movie. And it's like, it's just kind of interesting to see how, you know, the bigger characters get these huge solo movies. And then we can have these smaller solo movies with, you know, newer characters, you know, Blade isn't going to be this big, but of Blade 6 will be, you know, Wesley Snipes will come back. I don't know. They'll CGI his eyes opening.
What did you think of the trailer?
Oh, I mean, I thought it was super exciting. They showed us a little bit of everything that we're going to get except for Christian Bale, which I do think is the right move to hold off on that guy. Because it's just like, this guy's gonna bring something new to Marvel.
Yeah, when he's all CG'd.
It doesn't even matter what he's doing. He's gonna be doing, because he knows that, so he's gonna be like, I'm gonna compensate for that by doing something. I don't know. I'm honestly a little scared. Like, I'm gonna be like, this is gonna be creepy, huh?
Yeah, and they don't really give like much away too on the premise. Like, it looks like Thor is gonna be going with the Guardians of the Galaxy on like some kind of like space adventure, and then has to go on some kind of quest alone. And like, even in the premise, they just say like, following the events of Avengers Endgame, Thor attempts to find inner peace, but must return to action and recruit Valkyrie, Korg, and Jane Foster, who has become the mighty Thor, to stop Gore, the God Butcher, from eliminating all gods.
Sweet.
That sounds.
And he's got his, we're going to have some training montages in this movie.
Oh yeah. I can hear it already. Boom, 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 boom.
Maybe this movie will be very 80s if, you know, Ragnarok was pretty 70s, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great. He's got his hair back.
It's good. It's good to see the hair again.
His hair, his bod. He's he's ready to rock. We got some beautiful scenes directly from the comic too, in the trailer, which I loved. Though some people were mad. They're like, they're not getting paid again. The artists aren't getting paid for their work. Just
they
like
definitely should be.
Yeah, they all should be.
Yes. When a billion-dollar movie takes ideas straight from you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm hoping maybe Taika will take care of them. I don't know.
I don't know. Who was it that really came out about that stuff recently and who was like, I don't need the money, but they didn't pay me anything for this. I'm just saying this because I have a platform and you'll all listen to me.
Was it David Aja?
No. It was one of the, was it Aja? No, I don't think it was. It was somebody else, but they were like, I'm just doing this because this needs to be talked about. Cause I mean, it's true. Like,
I thought it was David Aja about Hawkeye.
Oh, maybe it was then.
Yeah. And he was like showing the, like exactly what they ripped off for Hawkeye. He's like, literally everything. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I got paid from all of my designs for this, but look what they're doing. And it was crazy. Like, like, why couldn't you just kick back for what, like, he created all of this? Like,
yeah, the problem is not adapting this stuff. It is theirs to do so with, but it is like pretty.
Oh, you're thinking hot. Probably of Joe Casey.
Yes, it was Joe Casey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
Well, I mean, good that there's multiple people out there talking about this. I know Ed Brubaker had talked about that. Like,
Joe Casey and Nick Dragotta created America. So,
that's what it is.
And that's a big deal because that's going to be millions and millions of dollars that are about to come out for Doctor Strange, as we were just talking about.
Millions of action figure dollars and all that stuff.
All that merchandising, stickers, lunchboxes, you know, you name it. Like
t-shirts. Wash rags. Literally, it's going to be everything.
Everything. Like, And then some other Marvel spokespeople came out and were like, well, technically she's not the same character anymore. That you could like, none of them are.
No, that's none weird.
None of them are. Are you kidding? Neither is Superman.
I did hear that that movie is going to be banned in multiple countries because of America Chavez.
Oh yeah.
Depiction. Why? Because she's LGBTQ. Plus.
Oh, cool.
And like many countries are banning, like I read an article where it was like, is Marvel gonna, this is just someone's hypothesis, is Marvel like scared of doing this when it means so much, such a blow to their money? And it's like, kudos to them, because they know China's not gonna play the movie if you have someone like that, and other countries won't. So I mean, it's just that whole debate. It's like, is America ready for it or is the world ready for it? Those are different timelines.
Oh yeah, definitely. And oh well.
yeah. I mean, just I'm glad they're gonna continue.
Yeah, I'm glad Disney's standing up to it. Just like they're standing up to Ron DeSantis. Have we heard about that?
Oh yeah, that was crazy. I mean, they're going against Disney, right?
Like, oh yeah, he's taking away their tax. Yeah. Funds basically. It's like Disney has their own little world in Florida basically, and he's like, no more, which is so weird for a Republican to stand up against a corporate entity. Usually they're like, you can have all of the money, corporate entity,
but not when that corporate entity is, as he put it, like seeding our children with, you know, morally wrong depictions of queerness or whatever. I don't know how he stated it, but it was like that sort of thing where it's like, this company for too long has been seeding propaganda. And I was like, oh my God, like a state is going up on, like, what does Florida have? I'm sorry for you if you live in Florida, you got Miami and Disney World. Like, there must be so much revenue that results from Disney World.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why would you mess with that? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I don't know. He's a crazy person.
Yeah.
I don't know. Going up against Disney, like, all right, good luck. Good luck, Ron DeSantis.
That's what I mean. It's like a state. You're just a state.
Yeah.
They're Disney.
They own the world. Don't you know that? Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It's all Disney World for a reason. Yeah. It's Act and Marvel Universe.
Yeah. On the Disney thing, though, which another good thing that Disney's doing, my favorite evil corporation, they have recently announced that they will be returning to producing 2D animated features.
Yay!
Which is, thank you. That is very exciting.
That is very exciting.
Yeah, the last one that they had done was Winnie the Pooh in 2011. And okay. I think
I don't even know what that was. I mean, I know Winnie the Pooh is, but
so that was their last 2D one, and it didn't perform very well. And I think that was, we were already pushing into that like CG world. And then I think that was like a nail in the coffin for, you know, the last, you know, 11 years. But the animator who, Eric Goldberg, who is the lead animator on the Genie for Disney's Aladdin, he's been in the company since then. And he said he's been campaigning for a long time to train up people in hand-drawn animation as well as CG, you know, like maintain what they're doing, but keep the thing going because it is a legacy at that. I mean, it's like CG wasn't a thing. No. 2D animation was. That's what built the whole empire. And it's like the fact that they don't produce that stuff is kind of crazy.
It is, definitely. I don't even know. I mean, Winnie the Pooh, was that even a, if that wasn't even a theatrical release in 2011 though, right?
No, or it was. Oh, it was. Shit. It just bombed or bombed. Didn't do what they wanted.
Right.
And it's like, it were already, it's spotty before that. It's like, it didn't look like they were putting their best foot forward. Like the last one that was like full on seemed to be like Princess and the Frog, where they're like, we're going full on.
Okay.
And then they did like a farm one, and it just didn't seem
nothing was like hooking anybody.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's probably why they failed. It's like kids didn't want Winnie the Pooh in 2011 and they didn't want like some farm movie. It's like, just do the cool ideas, but 2D.
Yeah. Definitely.
We'll see though.
We'll see what they come up with.
I mean, they're bringing X-Men back, right? They animated, yeah, so.
I know, and kids are excited about that. We had some kids come in buying X-Men comics because they're watching, X-Men 92 and get, because Disney's feeding them, you know, trailers for X-Men 98 and they had to watch the original first, so.
Heck yeah.
And also parents are coming in too, being like, what does my kid have to do to get ready? And I'm like, I don't know if your kid wants to read this, but here you go. Good luck, sir.
Well, I'm in there with them. I'm watching it too.
Yeah. Well, Netflix is in big trouble right now. We all have heard about this probably. Losing subscribers left and right. Just cutting people's services and now talking about putting ads in for a lower subscription. Yeah. Just like Hulu, you know, doing that lower subscription service and adding ads, and nobody wants that, Netflix. Don't do it.
And they're talking about the password sharing issue, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Like, because that's what they did first was they tried out in other countries. I think it was like Chile and a couple other countries, cutting subscribers if they were password sharing. So if you were password sharing, they'd cut off your subscription. Yeah. And so they basically lost hundreds of thousands of subscribers by doing that.
Yeah, you can't do that.
No. And so people just canceled their service. They're like, fuck you, Netflix, you know?
Yeah. Now they're going to charge, right?
Yeah. And now they're going to up the charges too. And
people, well, if you're sharing it, they're going to add a fee for every
account. Yeah. It's sneaky too.
Yeah. Because a lot of people won't, I mean, you know, if you're reading the news, sure, but most people probably aren't. It's just going to, I'm sure it has to tell them something. They can't just like up it, but it'll be a little blurb and they'll be like, what? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't kind of pay attention to my subscriptions.
Yeah.
So, and they also don't have a lot of good shows on right now either. That's the other thing they're talking about too. However, Stranger Things is coming back, which is Netflix's biggest show they've ever had.
Yeah, definitely.
And supposedly season 4 is like the most they've ever spent.
Oh, wow. Ever.
Like on one single season. And this is crazy money. $270 million.
Well, that's more than a feature.
Yeah. One season. Wow. And I've watched the trailer too, and it's crazy looking. But do people still care? Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I kind of was just like, eh.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm still going to watch it, I guess. But like, I don't really care as much as I did before.
Sure, sure. I mean, they have to compete with these Disney shows, which are getting bigger and bigger. I mean, they still are not quite at like movie level, but it's like, it's pretty close. This is, you know, pretty cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. So they've really had to, like, I think everyone has to up stuff because of that.
The most exciting thing, though, is when I read this article, what you're seeing, they say, is 90% practical effects.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that I was like, well, maybe I am on board.
Yeah.
Right?
See a Demogorgon and stop motion, get Phil Tippett in there.
Hell yeah. And it's like it looks like a Clive Barker. Like,
sweet.
It's insane looking. So
okay,
I will check it out because of the practical effects and the $270 million budget on said practical effects.
Yeah, that is pretty like, crazy.
It's like a George Miller, you know. Wow. Stranger Things, I guess, this season.
Wow.
Yeah. Exciting.
There's lots of stuff going on.
Oh yeah, there's so much stuff coming out. Lastly, Batgirl, they are now considering putting into theaters because apparently Batman, you know, is doing really well on HBO Max and did amazing in theaters, and they're like, hey, maybe the lady Batman will also do well.
Yeah.
HBO Max.
That was actually their original title plan for it. The Lady Batman.
Yeah, that's I read that as well. Yeah, Batman performed strongly at $750 million at the box office. And then they directly just put it right onto HBO Max after that. Mm-hmm. So, if you want to check it out, I think there's a teaser maybe now.
Michael Keaton's in that, right?
Michael Keaton will be in that as well.
Cool.
J.K. Simmons is in it. There's a bunch of people in it. J.K. Simmons is literally in every superhero movie,
as he should be. I mean, who doesn't want to see that guy? I love that guy. I did read this is a few days ago, I read this, but the new guy from Discovery, because Warner Brothers was recently purchased by Discovery, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's the way these things are going to work. I think of this as a positive, because previously they were owned by AT&T, which is a communications company.
Right.
Discovery makes documentaries, and mm-hmm. their plan is to like fuse with Warner Brothers. So it's like have the best in documentary and have the best in fiction, which that sounds like a sound plan to me. And I'd rather, I mean, they're still storytellers. So that's a positive to me.
Yeah.
And one of the guys who's, I guess, going to be in charge of the Warner stuff is like made a statement like Warner Brothers has long let important characters languish, like Superman and Green Lantern and stuff.
Yeah.
And we are going to be pursuing more unique auteur driven features such as Joker. And I'm like, yes. Good. And yes. Yes. Yeah, and please. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
absolutely.
And whatever HBO Max is going to become is also going to significantly evolve. I think, you know, they're going to, I don't know if they'll keep it HBO Max or whatever, but it's going to have all that Discovery content on there. And I'm hoping, of course, you know, as a comics fan, like get that documentary division, give me a 20-part history of DC Comics, you know, like, or whatever, every character, like documentaries about this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I hope they do that too. And like not crappy though. Like some of the Discovery shows.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Make it real.
Yeah. Or Warner Histories, documentary about Warner. I mean, it's like they have these two huge legacy, you know, companies there, Warner mm-hmm. Brothers and DC Media, and it's like showcase this stuff. That's it's good. It seems like they are intent to do that.
I hope so. One more thing, big news about the store this week. Next weekend, I'm messing this whole thing up. Okay, May 7th, first weekend in May is Free Comic Book Day. Yay, we're back. Finally, full from pandemic restrictions, but if you want to wear a mask, please do so. It's Free Comic Book Day, and we have a very special guest, Ryan Sook, artist phenom, will be guest signing. We don't have a time yet, but he'll be there in the afternoon, we'll say. And that's presented by Felix Comics Art. Cool. Thank you, Felix. We appreciate you. Yay. we'll have some books. This was like last minute. So bring your books. I'll have, I have some stuff in backstock, like his Zatanna series. And we have some like Legion comics, stuff like that. But yeah, definitely bring your stuff because I don't know how much we'll have in stock.
Yeah, that's always exciting. A signing is always exciting.
And Free Comic Book Day is very exciting.
I mean, that's exciting on its own.
Yeah. Anything else?
I don't think so. I think I'm pretty good.
I got all my news in. Yep, that's it. Cool. Another episode down the hatch.
Done. We're gonna let's just hint at it, but we're gonna be doing a different style of episode next time you catch us.
Yeah,
so
get your tuned. Popcorn ready.
Yeah there you go, that's a good hint. And your bullet casings.
Wait, Jesus. All right.
Now have I made it too weird? Should I say who it is?
No.
It's a character you may know, but yes, popcorn.
All right. Plugs.
Yeah. So you can follow me at Robert_NEGOESCO at Robert Negoesco on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I guess. I think. Yeah. I think they're all the same. I think I did that. And then also if you type in my name on YouTube, that'll find my YouTube channel where I post short animation, short films. I'm going to be doing video essays and stuff. So lots of stuff there. Instagram and YouTube are the best places to stay up to date with me, though.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter and also TikTok. We're cool kids now. At Jessa Balboni, JESSABALBONI. Also follow us at the store at Escapist Comics on all of those things as well. Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter.
Facebook too.
Yeah, Facebook too. People still go on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just different demographics.
Sure. It is those things.
Yeah.
And we will talk to you guys later. Hopefully soon.
Until next time.
Escape into comics. All right. See you later.
Bye.